This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And see so.
Hello, welcome back to Seagull Social, Season 4, Episode 39, maybe. Currently it says Episode 30-something, or just something, actually. It just says Episode something. We don't know anymore. We don't know what's going on with our club either at the moment. Hopefully Jack and Ryan will be able to tell me more about it, because they went to the game yesterday. Boys, what the hell is going on? I'll start with you, Jack.
It was a long night last night. I remember looking over to my mum and I went, bloody hell, it's only been 7 minutes. It was just like one of those nights. I'm trying to put a positive spin on it slightly. I think at the end of the day, City were fantastic. They play really well at times, like move the ball about. They're so like positionally disciplined. I remember there were times where I was like, can someone just go marking? Because there's three players queuing up on the wing. Like there's the fullback, the winger, the striker, and they're all in a row. And you're like, Jesus. I think they're a fantastic team, and there's reasons for that. But we lost 4-0. I don't think it was too disrespectful. It didn't get like, obviously it's not a great result, but I don't think it got like, you know, descending into farce. I think we were just really...
There were some controversies, though, weren't there, obviously?
There were.
We'll probably talk about, like, the free kick that they won, like, the Foden trips. And then, obviously, we've had some penalty shouts there as well.
Yeah, I think we've done okay. I think maybe if we got a goal back, the result looks a little bit different. Because I do remember a similar 4-1 result where we were 3-0 down at half-time under Potter, where I don't think we came out of the game looking as bad as we did, really, and it didn't feel quite as... like, you know, a completely terrible game. So, I don't know. It was a strange one. I think people will probably overreact to it because of the 4-0 loss, and that's right. And we were poor at times, but you've got to remember they are the best team in the world. And I think if that exact game had happened after a good run of form, people wouldn't have been worried. That's it. So if we'd won the previous three and come into that and lost 4-0, I don't think there would have been a... people would have looked at it particularly badly, which I think is a bit of a weird take on it, but I think that's right, though. I think we've got to look at it quite individually this game because they are so good, Man City.
Yeah, that's fair. Ryan, what are your take on it? Like, what's the mood like? Because you were at the presser on Thursday. What was the mood like even in the training ground? Is it kind of, do people feel like the season's over?
No, he came in with an ex-Italian footballer. I still can't remember the guy's name. And he said Totti. Before the press conference starts, yeah, something like that, mate. No, he came in before the press conference starts. He said, can you all tell me who this is? And instantly I'm thinking, God, and it feels so disrespectful because I am from literally here to the end of my bed away from being next to how close he was to me. And I was just looking at him like, and got a clue.
I've never packed you an ultimate team, unfortunately, mate.
Yeah, someone did shout it out. He played in the 2004 season and won the Europa League, I believe. Italian centre forward, I think. Jack might spring a bell from the 2004 season in the Premier League. Maybe not. I still can't remember his name. So there's no conclusion to the end of this story. But the point is, he was in somewhat of a decent mood, I would say. I think I put that as a good mood. But to talk about the game, I'm weird, I think, maybe. I don't know. But I've come out of that and I'm actually all right about it, to be honest. I looked at, and I have promised I haven't been paid to say this, but I thought, I looked at so many of the young players. You know, you look at Omani, you look at Afaya, you look at Barco, Baleba. You can even include João Pedro in it because he's only 21. And I just thought, it's all right, isn't it? Like they've all put in a good shift. None of them gave up. Welbeck didn't give up either. I saw a lot of people saying that, you know, it looked like they weren't interested when I actually probably thought they were. And that's the one takeaway that I got from it. And I thought, do you know what? At least they've run to the end. We've got half a team. We're playing against the best in the world, as Jack says. So is it really that bad? I don't know. I feel like that's the reality check that people need.
The fact we lost means that Arsenal potentially might not win the league. So that's great. I mean, I was in a pub with Maz and he was like, I don't mind us losing. He was like, if anything, I want the City to win simply just so Arsenal don't win the league because they'll be insufferable. Jack, I mean, you were saying off air how much you really dislike Arsenal. So it was... No, it's a kind of a good result in the end, us losing, right?
they'll all come running to the thing. No, I just think now Arsenal. I'm obviously going to get a load of stick from Arsenal fans here, but just coming out of the Arsenal game, you watch that Arsenal team, and I wasn't that impressed with them. I mean, I was impressed with them in a different way, in that I thought they're really resolute and defended really well. Whereas I come out of this game looking at it, and I just go, wow, that team was fantastic, and they're worthy title winners. But then I think there's a lot of credit in Arsenal for playing that sort of way. But you can just see the quality. It was like we tried to man mark Kevin De Bruyne, and if you man mark Kevin De Bruyne, you've still got Foden to deal with, who was almost, you know, just as good. So it's crazy, isn't it? Really, the quality they have in their team and the subs. That was what I thought was insane. Like, you know, the substitutes they're bringing on Doku, like one of the best young players in the world, and like with all respect to Mark O'Mahony, who I thought put in a great shift, it's a different level of player, isn't it? And you just look at the amount of quality in that squad.
At O'Mahony, like he wouldn't have thought at this point in his career he's going to be playing for Brighton in the first team against Man City. You know, if in all other likelihoods in any other club, an 18-year-old centre forward from Ireland is not playing in the Premier League before the end of the season. Let alone, in fact, by the way, he probably would have gone on loan somewhere. More chance of him being on loan somewhere, maybe in League One, high end of League One, if he's a good enough player. That's the level of most good Premier League academy strikers that are 18 years old. That's what we've got to rely on. So this is how I look at it. I mean, you look at Afaya was at Hearts this season, obviously had that Hearts scare as well, quite ironically with the names. But again, I thought he did a really good job. I thought he looked really good. Valentin Barco made his full debut. So there's a lot of perspective to make from it. Baleba's not really played too much with us and hasn't even played really with Gilmore, who's been our first choice midfielder. Again, there's so much perspective to take. And I know people say, I'm bored of hearing about the injuries, I'm bored of hearing about it. But unfortunately, that's the reality. And that's what you just got to get in your head. We're not the Brighton that you think we are or what we once were last year. We're the Brighton at the moment, and you just got to deal with it. That's it. Just got to suck it up and enjoy it for what it is.
Give me August 13th or whenever the next season starts, because I cannot wait for hopefully a fully fit squad and we'll have all of our best players. But speaking of best players, I do want to talk about De Bruyne, because that first goal was mental. So it's not going to surprise you when I say this is Kevin De Bruyne's first ever header in the Premier League. And obviously he does it against Brighton, of course. And Robin Van Persie World Cup-esque header as well, wasn't it? It was meant. Who did he score it against? Was it Spain when he scored that?
Spain.
Was it mental header? And De Bruyne's as well, like, when have you ever seen him do that ever? And he has to do it against us. Get that header record against us. It's typical. People always do that against us. But I saw people obviously picking on Steele. He's a very easy scapegoat, I imagine. I have in the past also done that. I'm very vocal about how much I prefer Verbruggen over Steele, as much as I love Jason Steele. But he did get a bit of stick saying that, like, he just completely dived at the wrong time, or that he could have saved it. I don't know if you could have saved that. Surely not.
I actually was one of them people at one point. I'm sorry. A reactionary said to me, I was like, could Steele have got that? But then I look back at it, and I'm just going to say before Jack says, he couldn't have got that.
Some of the stuff with Steele is like, you can blame him for some stuff, but some of the stuff people blame him for is just like, I just don't understand. Like, do they think like, just because, I mean, someone described, and I'm not trying to dig them out, I just noticed they said it. It's someone who's quite sound. Someone, Josh on Twitter, but he said Verbruggen is younger, so he would have got that. And it's like, I don't think Verbruggen being younger is a reason that he would have saved it.
Taller, maybe.
People obviously, I think the goals, we've got some very good players, and I think people are a little bit against criticising some of their more favourite players, and Steele will always be the first person in the queue to be criticised. I don't think he could have got there with any of the goals. I think he was probably, arguably, he was fouled for the fourth goal. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a bit of a strange one.
What you said about Steele, I thought with his feet, that first, I'd say 10 minutes before they scored, I thought we were actually going to go and try and play against them like we did a couple of years ago. I thought we were really going to go try and play against them. The way Steele was playing about with it at the back, yes, okay, one of them led to a goal in the third, and it spirals the whole of the Amex to have some sort of emotional breakdown, but forgetting the fact that this is how we've played for the last 3 years, and Barco's 19 making his debut and Belaba's 20. Anyway, I can't bother to get into that argument with someone. But when I looked at Steele's distribution, I thought it was completely fine.
Yeah,
the goals, you're right, he couldn't have saved. I didn't see a single problem with Jason Steele's performance yesterday, and it's just people trying to get on his back, in my opinion.
I do. Interesting. I do think, though, it was a strange move not to continue with Verbruggen.
I accept that completely.
I 100% agree. I think Verbruggen should be getting more game time. But look, I don't think his performance warrants any huge amount of criticism. I think there are some other players who were poorer than him, definitely. Not to try to dig too many players out, some younger players, but you know, I think that goal you spoke about there, that's Barco and Belieber not being quite up to the levels of passing around the back that we're used to. And then obviously it just gifts them a goal, which is a real shame, because I thought they both had decent-ish games until then. But it's all a learning experience, and I'd rather, if we're going to teach players how to learn and be quick with their feet and good with their feet, and Man City's the best team to do it against. And at the end of the day, it was a bit of a free hit this game. You know, we could have got a result, we could not have. I don't think anybody was going into it expecting a result. So, I'm not too disheartened about that.
I reckon Roberto De Zerbi probably saw Piers Morgan's tweet in the morning and thought, fuck it, there's no way I'm going to give this man 3 points. Let's put Jason Steele in goal and give him 4 goals. Let's just do it that way.
That's fine by me. That's fine by me.
Which, if that is true, and it sounds completely true, then I back it. So cheers, De Zerbi, because Arsenal fans will be unhappy with that one. Because they were all over us during the day before. Messages from some of my Arsenal mates being like, please do it, Brighton. And it's like, there's no chance. Please do not get your hopes up and pin it all on us to save your season. Because, I mean, just the Piers Morgan tweet alone was just an absolute shambles. I mean, all the comments he was getting as well were hilarious. Everyone was just telling him to fuck off and shit like that.
Yeah, I wonder who that was.
I mean, you obviously as well. Ryan said something quite polite as well. But yeah, Piers Morgan, if you didn't hear,
he said massive apologies, to be fair.
Oh, did you? Oh, no, but I thought you replied to something when he originally tweeted it. I'm not too sure.
Oh, I said to him, we don't want you anyway, I think, at the end of the
day. Yeah, that was it. That was good. but yeah, so if people listening haven't seen what he tweeted, so he tweeted saying, I grew up 16 miles from Brighton, spent most of my formative youth in Brighton.
16
I used to go and watch Brighton as my second local club when I couldn't get to Arsenal. Two of my favourite Arsenal players came from Brighton, Trossard and Ben White. Come on, Brighton. You could do this, praying, and obviously we didn't do it for him.
In fact, I know so many people like that. Actually, hurts my head.
Yeah,
I know so many people like that. It hurts.
It just sort of, when you see that, you just sort of, you're not like, oh, it like doesn't endear you to Arsenal Football Club at all. It just goes like, you know, you were probably a Brighton fan in the era when we probably needed quite a lot of fans and help from the local community. So
literally,
instead of like supporting your local club in your local area, you just fucked off and supported another massive club because they won loads of stuff. So frankly, I couldn't give a shit about him.
Good response. Completely agree. Yeah, completely agree. It's just embarrassing, mate. And even if you weren't in that era, even if you're in the modern era and you had no idea about the history of Brighton, it's still embarrassing.
Yeah.
How can the biggest ones to me are the ones that are in London but don't support a London team.
Yeah.
It will never fail to baffle me. How can you be from London and support Liverpool, Manchester United? That's ridiculous. And you've absolutely obscene.
You've got the excuse that you live in London, so you can support like one of the London teams. I do find it strange. Yeah,
there's so many London teams you could support as well.
I know.
Literally, no matter where you're born in London, no matter where you're raised in London, there's a football club in that radius.
Yeah.
Like here, you've got Brighton, and that's about it. You got Crawley. For me, I'm bang in the middle of both in terms of distance from Crawley Town Stadium. I think Crawley's Town Stadium is 1 mile further away, which is my always. Ooh. I do support my local.
But if it wasn't 1 mile, you would be a Crawley fan.
Slightly closer. Yeah, so I do support my local because I used to get that. Like, you don't support Crawley. I said, like, actually, leave it out. 1 mile difference, mate. I do support my local. Just
and you went to Storrington.
I support Storrington. Yeah, love the Swans. Yeah. And if you ever do, I've just got promoted, by the way, so I'm going to plug Storrington shamelessly here because, hang on, wait there. I've got a shirt. They wanted me to do this.
Oh, they wanted you to do this? I've never done Storrington's ground. Oh, very nice.
It's quite a nice kit, actually.
That's a nice one, yeah.
Shout out to the Chartree Carpentry and Construction Limited if you want anything done. But yeah, anyway, I had to do this. I'm joking. But no, the main thing is up the Swans, support your local. End of conversation.
That is nice. Jack, you've been going to Whitehawk a bit recently, quite a lot.
Forget Brighton. We're talking about.
I think everyone has kind of just given up on Brighton.
They're just going to the locals now. It's fine.
Whitehawk, really good people down there. If this goes out, actually, it'll probably go out today. So if you can tomorrow, we'd love to get a really good attendance for the final game of the season. Playing Potter's Bar. Had a really good end of season. I think we're 7 or 8 unbeaten at the moment. So it'd be really nice to get a good send-off at the end of the season. So that'd be really good. Support your local this weekend. There's no Brighton game on Saturday, so there's no excuse for you not to get down to the enclosed ground this weekend.
It's very true.
If you live in Brighton.
See Josh Nandra, who is my best mate's younger brother. We're twins, so I think they both play.
They have both played. I think I've seen them.
Josh won man of the match in the recent match.
Yeah, he was fantastic against Enfield Town. So yeah, he did really, really good shift up front. So, head down. So yeah,
nice.
Cool. Let's take it back to the abysmal football show.
Yeah, I was going to say a good segue there would be from non-league football to non-league refereeing.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus, to be honest, mate, it's not even non-league refereeing, is it?
No.
To be honest, it's just completely terrible. I mean, even if that was in the non-leagues, I think you're going to get a lot of worse language,
I think,
to be honest.
I've moved it on to the refereeing now.
Yeah, about that Foden belabor.
I think what the disappointing thing is like, some of those decisions that were made were just like, it doesn't affect the result, and I can't emphasise that enough. I mean, I've seen people going like, oh, we would have lost anyway. And that's fine that we would have lost anyway. But it's still... And that's why the refereeing will get away with those decisions that they've made. Because at the end of the day, it's not on the result at all. But the Foden decision was just shocking all round. I mean, how he's managed to make that decision, he's checking for a penalty. And the most ironic thing is that was 4 yards further forward in the penalty area, he wouldn't have given a penalty and it would have been overturned. But because it's there, it's given away the goal. Yes, the wall was absolutely shocking for that goal. But, you know, it just shouldn't be a free kick in the first place. And so many of the decisions were just baffling. You know, 50-50s constantly going out. You know, the offside decision, I think when it was them, they let them play through the phases. And then he put the flag up. With us, it was just flag up straight away every single time. A Man City fan I know said something. Pep said something in his press conference, and he said, "Well done, Pep. You're charming the referees already." And it seems to have worked within the first game. So because he did reply straight away and said, "Look, it worked." So that was a weird one, I have to say.
It's sad, isn't it? Because that's the conversation we have to take away from what could have been such a good game to talk about. As I said, in that first 10 minutes, I thought we were actually quite good. And I know you say they probably would have won anyway, but there's always the case of, but the second goal is probably one of the biggest decisive goals in a game of football. If you go 2-0 down, the chances are the rest of the game is going to be a bit of an uphill task. And I think when you're playing up against a team like that, the last thing you need is a Foden slipping over opportunity to give to them. Because as you say, the chances are they'll score again anyway. They're going to make their own chances throughout the rest of that game. They didn't need a free kick to score. And I think that once you go 2-0 down against Man City, the game's done, isn't it? And you know, that's the frustration for me. Yes, you can say we wouldn't have won, but there's always that case of, yeah, but what if it was 1-0 at halftime? What if you do go into that last 10 minutes at 1-0? It might be different. And that will always be the argument for me when it's about officiating, I think, against a bigger team.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
At least the third goal, we can't really complain for that referee. Because that was just a mess, really, wasn't it?
And
like the North Stand, when that went in, the North Stand went absolutely mental. You see all the limbs just going, fucking like swearing and shit. Like they were
fuming. Yeah, it was a big conversation, wasn't it, around everyone. I think that it was probably the loudest I've heard everyone talking after a goal for a long time. It's not like normally, you know, normally it goes silent, but it was almost like everyone's just sort of scolding. And I've got to be honest, I'm on the fence of, I think I feel a bit bad for him. I probably sounded so delusional here, being positive. But like, kid's 19. He's played it out. It's his first game. He's got Foden up against him and he's being told to do this. He's given the ball away. It's a mistake because he's been passed it quite heavy by Belabor. What can you do? Foden's on the end of it.
I do think the mistake was more on Belabor, and obviously it's a bit disappointing because he's had some really good games recently, but I think there's still a few question marks over his passing ability. He's obviously very good at carrying a ball forward, very good at breaking up play, but I think there's still a lot of questions over whether he can play the sort of tight passing game that's required. Like Billy Gilmore in that position, you know, he knows exactly where that ball's going to go. He's probably not going to pass it to someone else. So I think Belabor needs a good pre-season under De Zerbi, where he's just essentially just had hundreds of balls drilled into him to make sure he can pass the ball properly. And yeah, he's had some really good performances. He's really good at progressive carrying, like he takes it forward. So I think there's lots of good parts of his game, but I just think the midfield last night was just so lacking. I thought Yakimoda, you know, I'm a big defender of Yakimoda, but I thought he had a real stinker last night. I think that it didn't help that he was essentially told to man-mark Kevin De Bruyne for the first part of that game. And it just didn't work.
Just that sentence alone.
And it just didn't work. And I think I understand the man-marking of Kevin De Bruyne, but not when the other option is Phil Foden, because you're then taking a player out of position that isn't marking Foden at times. So that just was a bit of a mess, and I think led to the first couple of goals. But, yeah, I don't know. I do think it's a poor performance. I think Modus had some great games recently, so I don't want to be too harsh on him. I think he's really good at Liverpool, really good against
Burnley.
He's decent at Burnley. Yeah. He's good against good against Forest. So I don't know. I think he's one that I think there's probably a big question mark over in the summer, whether he stays or go, or whether I have to change my Twitter handle.
What are you going to change it to if he goes?
Oh, I don't know. We'll work something out.
You know, this has been one of my biggest questions as to what you do next with it, because it was Zakiri at one point, wasn't it?
Yeah, enter Zakiri.
Picking the obscure player that you know,
we'll find
no
something.
One quite rates enough, and you just go with him. But I remember once upon a time that was Billy Gilmore when I used to come on this podcast and rave about him, and everyone would say I was delusional and he's not good enough. And now we're saying how much we miss him. So it is a weird game, football, and it goes around so quickly. Although, I probably would agree with you, Jack, on the Moda thing.
I think there's just a few players who... I think looking at that team last night, that lineup, you do really see that we have been struggling with injuries. To look at it, and you look at it and you just kind of go like, the options just aren't there at all. Like the options.
But that midfield against Bournemouth is very, very, very difficult. I mean,
yeah.
You know, the Moders and Lallana's obviously. I don't think Lallana's got it anymore, and it's really a shame to say that. But I think he's finished now.
I think there were, it was
Gross even at times. Was a bit lazy at times, and I never slate Gross.
Yeah, so Gross. I think I remember even Jack when made you a look point recently about Gross, is like he's literally played like every single game, hasn't he? So I think he's just completely knackered.
It was good to see Adingra have a rest, because I do think a lot of the loss of form of Adingra is tiredness. So I think it's good to see that he was rested. And when he came on, he did look quite good. And we look better when we have a winger, because that's how De Zerbi likes to play. So I think the whole thing was a bit baffling with it wasn't so much like the goalkeeper selection. It was just like the selection in midfield to have like two sort of fairly slow central midfielders up front was a bit weird.
But yeah, he almost tried to do like a Lallana false nine, and it was kind of
100%
work, realistically. I can see the idea of it. I think that he tried to keep the ball, obviously put in stealing goal.
Yeah,
he obviously wanted to try and play through them. I guess Lallana's got more chance of, you know, making accurate passes. I say that, you know, nowadays it's not so much, but I get the thinking, I get the thought process, but unfortunately, as you say, with the names you're reading off in that Manchester City midfield and all over the pitch, it instantly makes that a complete uphill task. You've got Phil Foden, you've got Kevin De Bruyne, but even just past there, Rodri, Kovacic, you know, these are players that are different class, Bernardo Silva, and that's before you even get to the back line, if you can get through that lot. Jack Grealish, Doku, all on the bench. These are players that walk into our team and be our best player. So,
tell you what,
walk into most teams and be their best player. You know,
we would have won if we had Hardest Geezer in the pitch, man marking Kevin De Bruyne. I think he would have been able to do the job.
Yeah, he wouldn't have given up. That's for sure.
He would have been great. Get Richie Sunak. I know. I saw him running with him as well, which is quite funny. But yeah, that was quite cool actually, seeing Hardest Geezer get an interview by Sky Sports. Did he get interviewed by the Brighton team at half time or not? Was it just Sky Sports?
Just a little applause, I think.
Yeah, no,
I was at half time.
I was in the bar. Actually, I think I left for the first time.
Who's Campo in there now?
Yeah, I know. He's got it all now. So I suppose that's a positive, isn't it? We got Cruz Campo at the Amex. That's a positive.
And we got the Hardest Geezer at the Amex as well.
Cruz Campo, Moretti. Yeah, they've added some new ones. It's all right.
660 for a Moretti, though. That's crazy.
It's crazy, isn't it? 620 for the Cruz Campo, I think.
Yeah,
660. A bit obscene. Love Cruz Campo. It's already up. But yeah, Ben lives in South London
now, so he's used to, or West London now, so he's used to spending about £8 on a pint. So yeah, exactly. It's a work for him.
Yeah, it is actually. Although saying that, there is a pub literally down the road from me called, I'm not going to doctor myself actually, and it sells £4.50 Cruz Campos.
So. Oh, that's all right.
It's incredible. but yeah, going back to the football, Hardest Geezer, that's class, because I remember when he done it, I was like, this guy needs to come out of the Amex, he needs to get his respect, and it was nice to see that he did get it. And even, I don't know if you saw, I am a massive Hardest Geezer fan, which I'm still talking about him. I don't know if you saw the video of Jack Grealish going up to him and being like, oh, you're an edge mate, what's all your stuff, mate? Congratulations,
Bill. Yeah, he got out of Worthing as well, so it's good to see him also supporting local non-league football as well.
Well, he played a Sunday League match for, was it Littlehampton Hilltop, something like that?
Hillside Rangers, I think.
Jack, Jesus, your knowledge is a joke.
I just know one of the guys. I know one of the guys who plays for them.
Of the guys in everywhere. I reckon you know one of the guys in some random shopping centre I read to in Rome or something. but yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, shout out Hardest Geezer, that's class. What else we've got? I guess the other goals, you know, was it the third goal? Obviously, yeah, Barker, we've done that. Fourth goal, second half, Barker gets sent for a hot dog. He gets sent to the shops when Carl Walker cuts it back there.
I forgot how quick Walker is on that goal.
Oh,
like,
he
completely outpaced him. Like, it was unbelievable, wasn't it? He just went like running.
He's so quick, Jack, that he can have two families. He can run from each one.
Yeah.
It's insane.
That's crazy, that.
It's quite a talent, isn't it?
Yeah,
without anyone realising.
Yeah.
And also, he's so quick that he doesn't feel any guilt about it as well. It's just instant.
He just brushes off him in the wind as he runs through.
Yeah.
The G-force.
Joking aside, he's some athlete. And he might be a complete idiot, but he's some athlete.
Yeah.
He really is. He's an exceptional player.
Yeah, love him for England, love him for City, but off the pitch, shambles, mate. Sort your life out, literally.
And still, that team has more morals than other title challengers. We won't go into that anymore.
yeah, fair enough. Most teams, to be honest.
Yeah, actually, it has been a pretty rough week. I'm not going to go. Obviously, those two 19-year-olds, the unnamed club. Yeah. People seem to think it's Sheffield United about what happened. They were arrested outside the stadium. It was mental. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
The only, it could only be Sheffield United or Luton, couldn't it? Because Wolves sort of denied, and they said it was at their stadium that Saturday.
Yeah, their stadium.
Those are the only other two teams that played that day.
I think. I think rather than speculating the clubs, it's just a shame that Premier League clearly
shouldn't
has a problem.
Even be like it should.
Yeah,
it?
There's clearly the problem. Like, I've had so many stories about this, and I don't know. It's just it's a real shame.
It's probably a lot more as well that don't.
It's lads that aren't used. Yeah, it's lads that aren't used to being told no because they've been surrounded by yes men all their life because they're footballers and think they can do whatever they want. And when they get told no, they do stupid things. And if they if they are found guilty, then I hope they throw the book at them. Is that the saying? They deserve whatever they're going to get if it is true. Anyway, on to even more depressing news. Crystal Palace are good now.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah, they are, actually.
Really good.
Do you know
so
what?
How have they gone from Roy Hodgson to Glasner? It's insane.
Yeah, like, Glasner's made incredible. Quite... an, I mean... Like, you know what? I looked at some of his goals and I thought, mad. You know what I mean? Like, I thought, whoa. You know, to do that in that short space of time, I'll give credit where it's due. Because that's not much time at all. He's only been there for a couple months.
When this appointment happened, I thought they'd be really good, and it sickens me. But they're a good side. I do think their upturn in form has coincided with two particular players coming back from injury, which are massive for them. And they've definitely, you know, I think they've scored or assisted both the goals or something like almost all the goals in this period. So I think they're very reliant on those two players, but there's no...
I'm very reliant on Eze and Elise both leaving in the summer. That is... that's our only hope, really. Otherwise, Palace... I know it could be a purple patch, really, couldn't it? Let's be honest. It's not like they're going to be incredible next season.
They're having a bit of a purple patch. I don't think they're... You know, every team does it. And, you know, I just think... You know, I think it with ourselves. Like, we can't just carry on losing. Touch wood.
carry on losing.
It's like, what's it, the beginning of the Three Lions songs? Carry on getting bad results, like that. And then there, in a year's time, as I stand here when we're on 4 points in April. But
Palace have just won the Europa League.
Yeah, exactly. It's an interesting one, and it had a sort of seasons panned out. I think there definitely needs to be something in the summer by the clubs, like an inquiry into the injuries. Like, I know.
Can
Brentford
I ask
are
though?
One.
Are you genuinely that surprised? Like, by really what? Surprised? If you were to take a proper logical thought at it, the way the season's gone, because I look at it and I'm like, okay, didn't think we would go below 10th, but then when you look at the team out, I'm not that surprised either. But like. With everything considered, all the injuries, which weren't that far-fetched. I mean, March had always had a knee problem. So, you know, him inevitably doing his knee when he's the only right winger available wasn't that far-fetched. Yeah. I think Mitoma was very unfortunate with how he's now back out. But again, we were really reliant on him. He played a lot of games at the end of last season and this season. Who else is even out at the moment? It's pretty much everyone, isn't it? Stipinyan, we went into the only left back. So the depth wasn't sufficient enough for the best players to stay fit from the beginning. So for it to be that surprising, I'm not so sure. And that's not me having a dig at the transfers and stuff and going back to summer as everyone always does. But when I look at it, I'm thinking, yeah, but that team is a mid-table team.
I think, well, there's two factors here. I think last season it was almost remarkable how no one was injured. I do remember, like, in the running when we got Europa League, it was like, wow, nobody's getting injured here. Like, this is not the usual Brighton way. And you look at some of the players we've had over the years, like, Gross is remarkable for how consistently he's not injured the entire time. So I think we've been a little bit lucky with that in previous years. I think Mitoma's a big loss. I think there was maybe just a numbers issue with the transfer market. I think we just haven't had quite enough high quality players to fill
balance
in.
Balance was wrong.
I think maybe another winger in January should have been a priority. But then at that time, we had Adingra coming back. We had Mitoma coming back. We were still winning games. So it didn't look like the end of the world. But I think we're starting to tell now. But I think you're right. Having your first season in Europe, look at other clubs who aren't like back to the hilt, who got Europe in previous years. You had Burnley, you had Stoke, you had Swansea. all of them have suffered a relegation in either the same or were very near to relegation in the same season that they got into Europe. So
and it carries over as well.
Yeah,
because it's not just the it's not given that we come back next year.
Yeah,
it's if anything, it's more of an uphill task. So that's why I think this summer is going to be so important for
us. Yeah, I think we
simply have to use the money we've got. We have to, otherwise we will suffer that sort of problem.
And I think what the crazy thing is, like you know, we're saying like, yeah, it's been really bad. We're still in touch with Europe. Like we're still only 6 points. Off sixth, which is crazy to think it with how poor we've been, but it's crazy really. I think the problem is I don't think we're really in the chance for Europe with the coefficient and extra champions.
They screwed it.
I think that's kind of, and then it looks
if
like
we beat Bournemouth like well, if we look good and win 2-0 or something or 3-0, I don't think that's going to happen by the way, because I actually think Bournemouth are better than us at the minute.
Yeah,
but if we do go and beat them. Then I'm, you know, it adds that bit extra. You know, we've got to play Chelsea, we've got to play United, Newcastle. These are all teams above
Villa.
Us. Aston Villa, sort of write off.
Oh, I cannot watch Villa.
Villa I associate to playing City. I'm just like, you know what, we're going to lose. But I think when it comes to Newcastle, they are beatable, but more to the point, they're above us and they're going for the same thing as us. Manchester United, very, very hit and miss, above us. And we can leapfrog them. So you almost look at it, and I said the same to De Zerbi the other day. You look at that and you're like, yes, you've got teams above you, but that also can be used as a positive because if you beat those above you, you go above them. And it's as simple as that.
It's just mental because at the beginning of every episode, I'm like, yeah, season's done, completely done. And then we talk about Europe and say, oh, there is still a chance, and I'm back in again.
It's
happened
like
the past
three
times we filmed.
Now.
I'm like,
oh,
there
is
a chance.
It's very
still.
Low.
I don't think it's.
It's the lowest it's been.
I don't think
it's not impossible.
I don't think there's a chance for us to get Europe. I think there's a chance for us to be in that Europe. What would have been a European place last season? If that makes sense. Because it won't be a European place this season. So, yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Like, it is over, but it's not really over. It's just we have had the hardest run in as well. I'm sure there was that article which showed us having the statistically hardest run in. So I don't know. It's a frustrating end to the season, but I'm not too disheartened. I think we've got a massive summer ahead of us. Massive summer.
Yeah. With most likely Roberto De Zerbi now, because Bayern Munich, who he had apparently had an 8-hour meeting with, have now pretty much got Ralf Rangnick, the guy that Man United. Yeah, he's going to Bayern.
Southwick's greatest son.
He wants like full control of transfers. I don't know if you guys remember when he did leave Man United. He literally came in to be like, right, who needs to go and stuff like that. He wrote a whole list, and then they were like, actually, now we'll just get rid of you and keep all the players still. But cheers anyway.
Yeah.
So basically, he's going to Bayern Munich to try and sort them out.
And he's the pioneer.
Yeah, that is so funny. That he hired a consultant and just were like, nah, don't agree.
The thing is with Rangnick is he's like the pioneer behind the RB Leipzig. He basically brought RB Leipzig up from all the divisions. So, and then Liverpool.
The godfather of football, no?
Arnie Slot.
Arnie Slot, isn't it? Mate. That was
crazy.
Another place. I think Napoli have made an appointment now. That was one I was a little bit worried that he could go to. I think they made an
He's already rejected Napoli, I swear.
I think he'll want to stay in the Premier League as well. So,
mate, he's staying at us. I can see it.
I can't see him going to Chelsea. But the thing is,
anyone in this sort of form shouldn't even have this choice of whether they stay or not.
Yeah.
You know, it's regardless of how we play, regardless of injuries, regardless of everything. If you've purely looked at football on paper, there isn't that conversation of whether you've got the choice to leave or whether you've got the choice to stay. It's you're either the manager or you get sacked. I mean, no, I'm not saying that he should be sacked. I'm not saying anything like that. But if anything, you're closer to the sack than you are leaving the club for Bayern Munich. You know, that's the sort of levels we're talking here. And for me, it's stay for your own good more than anything else. Because I think De Zerbi would be silly if he was to leave. I think it's completely the wrong time. Have a summer, get your players you want, not all the ones you want. Let Bloom make them decisions.
Yeah,
but get all the players that we need. I'll correct that. The ones we need. Back De Zerbi because he's a good guy and he does love the club despite some of the quotes that come out and go out of context. And just enjoy next season and go for it as much as we can without Europe probably, because actually it could be a big blessing in disguise.
Yeah,
I think that'd be really good for us.
Europe's off. Yeah, it will be. A nice hard reset. smash it in the summer with some signings. We've said this for the past few seasons with the money that we've got.
But I think we do need to look at signings, and we do need to maybe get some ready-made players. I think that may be the one criticism of our transfer policy. I think last season this season we just maybe went in a bit few short for the amount of games. And I just think you could already see in November time, there were massive holes in the squad. Like Hinchinwood, obviously, success story of the season, young player of the season, in my opinion. But we were having to shoehorn him in at right back when realistically we probably could have done with another right back, knowing Tariq's injury problems.
And realistically, Hinchinwood would have finished this season as midfielder.
Yeah.
You know, if he stayed fit and Veltman come back and whatever, the fire even broke in, he looks all right, as I said, then, you know, he's got the opportunity to play in midfield where he belongs with Gilmore out. Hinchwood's really, really, really frustrating, and it's really unlucky because that's just the ultimate unlucky injury you can get. It's fracturing your foot, you know, and then playing through it and then getting too hurt, you can't play anymore. That's just unfortunate. And also, just before we finish this episode, can I just get... we need some apologies for Ferguson. We really do. He's been so not mistreated, that's wrong, but hard done by, I think, by the fans. People expecting too much of him. Not just our fans, but abroad and in wider football. He's been playing through an injury that apparently, since Newcastle, all the way back at the beginning of the season when he scored a hat-trick. No wonder he's not been so good.
I think he
came in at the team. He's clearly not ready. Now he's had his surgery, and it's what it is, you know? People don't realise that.
You could definitely tell he was playing for an injury. You could see the minutes were being so tightly managed. You could see him coming off exactly on 60 minutes.
Say that, but he's still got hard done by, I think. He's finished selling for this amount. I'm just like, what?
I think he probably won't get sold now, which is good because I think he's a sensible lad and I think he knows that it's good for his development to stay here rather than go to a top club straight away. But yeah, it's a shame that, but I think he can come back next season stronger. I think we just need to get all these players back, come back. It'll be really good. Hopefully there's not... I think March might be the only absentee who doesn't come back, but I think that's just a horror injury, which is such a shame because he was really, really hitting heights, wasn't
so
he?
Good.
Under De Zerbi, it was almost ridiculous. I think I was having a debate with someone on North Stand Chat about Potter and March, and I said the reason that March is so good at the moment and is because down to De Zerbi almost single-handedly. And you look at his output as soon as De Zerbi came in, and it almost went up double the amount. I think it was a season before De Zerbi came in, he got something like 0 goals and 2 assists.
Yeah.
I think there were genuine question marks.
We were saying, would he ever score? I remember being on this podcast specifically saying, will Solly March ever score? I think I even said them words. And not even because of when he was bad, just because he kept missing so many chances.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Doubting De Zerbi at the moment's not right. Yeah, I think we just need to reset in the summer and go again.
The crazy thing with Solly is I'm pretty sure most of my mates were is this guy ever going to make it with us and be a top quality player? It might be time to move him on.
And at the time it was a fair question, you know?
Yeah.
At the time, it was completely normal. No one would have, you'd have had just sort of Solly March fans probably been back him, he's a local boy. But if you took the local boy glasses off, it was quite a reasonable thing to say. Maybe Solly isn't going to make it.
He was an incredibly hard-working player, but I think there was definitely question marks whether he could take us to that next level. And now he clearly was that player. And we miss him so much.
We do.
I would say we might even miss him more than Mitoma because of what he did for us. Maybe not that much, but you look at
we miss them both the same.
You look at the amount of goal contributions he made last season though. Think of all the goals he scored last season.
And he can fill in left back and right back. Exactly. Really,
so for me, he's a massive, massive loss. And hopefully he comes back good and proper, but I think we might have him
but this is it, look, at end of every single episode at the moment we end up talking about the injuries and the ones we miss because it's a common theme. So until we just accept it, and I'm not saying we as us two, but all of us as Brighton fans that's listening to this right now, until we just get to a point of acceptance that we aren't that situation team that we were last year, the better. And the better you'll feel about every game, I promise you, if you just realise that, and you won't just think, oh, I hate this club, get De Zerbi out, sack them, need this player out. I promise you, if you start just realising the actual situation and accepting it, you'll move on a lot quicker in life and the sun will come around a lot sooner.
And I think it's the thing is, like, we rely so much on wingers and they are where all our injuries are. All our injuries.
Yeah, exactly. We've got none. We've got none apart from Adingra.
Yeah.
And Adingra is not exactly like Mitoma was.
You have
to just accept it.
The only thing I'd like to see De Zerbi do, probably I'll just say this before we finish, I'd like to see him do, is maybe in this final stage of season, instead of like trying to shoehorn people into a new system like with Lallana yesterday where we tried to sort of false nine, all of this, just give some of the young players a go. We saw in that second half, giving like a fire a go, it showed that he wasn't like, you know, he didn't pull up any trees, but he did, and I think he
could. Pull up any trees?
He could pull up a tree himself. He is massive.
Yeah. He's quick, isn't he?
Yeah, he's quick.
That's what surprised me. That run he did was like, do you know what? As I said, I praise the fire, but I agree. Benicio, another one.
Yeah,
another one.
Just
that could
play
get
your system
toes.
And put the players in that position and see how it works. And then I guess it's...
Omani's not ashamed himself at all.
No, I think it's... Yeah, Fire. I've watched him a long time for the under-21s and he's always shown that he's got that raw ability. Really strong player. So I'd quite...
Just play him.
Yeah, just play him and just see what happens. And it's not... Because I do think there is sometimes people just go, oh yeah, start this person and we'll be fine, and then they end up being crap. I just think... Rather than that, just stop trying to fit a new system around the players available and play your old system, because we know your old system works. It's just about the quality of the players.
And they're all dead on their feet anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's just play some of the young boys. They'll be playing, they want to play because they want to play their heart out to start next season and prove a point. So if anything, it's borderline, it's less of a risk anyway, in that sense. Anyway, I'll shut up now.
Yeah. Cheers, boys. Just a quick one. Football League, I think it's the final weekend of League One, League Two. Some mental games. I don't know if you saw about the whole Sutton thing. I only have like two minutes, actually, so I really need to go. But yeah, Sutton could potentially, if they win 3-0 and someone else wins 1-0, they're on the exact same goal difference. So then someone else stays up because of the amount of games they've won. And then also in League One, Colchester are playing Crewe Alexandra. Crewe need a point to stay
League
up.
League Two, that is. That's League Two.
Oh, League Two, sorry.
Yeah.
Crewe need a
League
point
two.
To stay up, and Colchester need a point to go up.
No, so... wrong way round. No, right. Ben, let the professional take over here.
But Jack, Sutton, please be quick, because I need to go back to work in a minute.
Sutton to stay up need to make sure they're the 5-goal swing against Colchester. So Colchester, if they lose 2-0 and Sutton lose 3-0, then Sutton will stay up. But Colchester are playing Crewe, and Crewe need a point to stay to go into the playoffs.
Yeah.
But Colchester need a point to stay up. It's going to be a good weekend of football, especially on the Saturday.
So put a draw, basically.
Yeah,
Your house savings... mortgage, everything, put a draw on Colchester versus Crewe, because they'll just be passing it
and
round the box to
get down to Whitehall if you can. Get down to Whitehall if you can. We're going for a big
support
attendance.
Your local.
Brighton boys go to Whitehall. If you live over West Sussex, go to a West Sussex game.
Yeah.
And we'll see you then.
Yeah. Right. Like, subscribe, and we'll see you post Bournemouth after losing to the Cherries. Bye.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.